What could be more public, more potent, than a giant among giants? And, as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came to understand, less understood by those who watched him perform.
The average citizen tends to see anyone who has great physical skills as invincible. And if they're articulate at all, it's like they're Superman. But anybody in that position is subject to the same ups and downs as the average citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to understand.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's humanity and his vulnerability were hidden for years behind a mask of aloof disdain. But as he describes in his new autobiography, Giant Steps, he was in pain. He was confused. His life was turbulent and often tragic. He was an alien in his own land.
I never really got to develop my own sense of independence and to make my own choices. It was something that I never was expected to do. And when the time came for me to do it, I was very ill prepared, and I suffered for it. I was kind of like the tall, dark stranger, you know. I, on the side, checking everything out, but not really getting directly involved. I was an observer.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you were an observer because you were afraid to participate on a certain level.
My own natural shyness was number one. And then, as I became an adult, it was like a policy. It started to do a lot less with my shyness and more with just the policy of not getting involved and just staying away from those types of things.
By the time Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in high school, his name was Lew Alcindor then, he was nationally famous. But few fans or recruiters saw that the superstar was also a sensitive, middle-class only child with a room of his own.
It was like a very insular existence. You know, anytime I didn't feel like being bothered with the hassles of daily life, I could retreat to my room and read, dream, you name it.
What did you dream about then?
Many different things. I had a lot of fantasies about some of the stuff I'd read, like Robert Louis Stevenson or Sir Walter Scott, people like that, different things I'd see on the television, Zorro, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the dreaming died during the halftime of a high school basketball game here at Power Memorial Academy in New York City. Lew Alcindor's white coach, trying to prod him to greater effort, said, "You're acting just like a nigger."
It kind of made me not want to trust white people at a time when I should have learned to trust some of them. I think it had a very negative effect like that, because it was at a time when the civil rights thing was really starting to get into gear and everything, and the Birmingham thing had already happened, and it kind of made me think that deep down maybe all white people felt like that, you know, and especially when they wanted something, a product or my effort or something, and this was the attitude, and you know, it took me a long time to sort all of that out, and I think it was very unfortunate.
Almost every college wanted Lew Alcindor. He chose UCLA for the sunny weather.
Well, did you go into UCLA with an attitude then?
Somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it took me a while to sort that out. I think in my dealings with Hamas helped me sort that out. And for that, I'm eternally grateful.
Hamas Abdul Khalis. Of all the older men that young Alcindor turned to for guidance, none had a more dramatic impact than Hamas. Alcindor was still a student here at UCLA when he came under the spell of Hamas, a Sunni Muslim teacher. Hamas renamed him Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which means noble, powerful servant of Allah. And Hamas selected Kareem's first wife.
I really didn't make any decisions without first checking with him and seeing what he thought about it. And I was still being like a little boy, you know, going to an uncle or your father or whoever it is for advice, when I should have been learning to make my own decisions. And because I did that, I set back my own personal development a great deal. And when you do something like that, you're no better or no worse than the person who you take advice from.
Hamas's advice turned bad after the teacher's children were murdered by a rival sect.
You know damn well I can't make a comment, or why you be some jackass? You know damn well...
Seeking revenge, Hamas seized and later released hundreds of hostages from three Washington, D.C. buildings.
Oh, Lord, everything's all right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You okay?
Yes, indeed. Now I am. Thank you.
We'll talk to you.
During the three-day takeover, one man was killed. In turmoil, Kareem gripped his game.
My profession has been a savior of sorts. I can throw myself into my work and not have to think about it. You can commit your whole self to basketball and still not have enough of yourself to give to it. It's that demanding. So it was almost like a means of escape.
Just when life seemed to be settling down for Kareem, he had made peace with his parents, he had a new lover and a new child, his house in Los Angeles burned down. He lost a 17th century Quran, an Oriental rug collection, thousands of records and books. But he also gained friends he never knew he had.
There's a whole lot of people giving me records. It was really great. I guess I have a reputation as a jazz fan, and people would give me records after games. They'd leave them at the hotel, at the front desk. Just about anywhere I went, somebody had something for me like that. And, you know, I didn't even know that these people were my friends. And it took this to bring that to light.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was. It's a very pleasant surprise, though. I need more like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's a hard way to reach out and touch people.
Yeah, but maybe it took that. Maybe I was that far removed from everybody that it took something that massive to bring about the exchange.